Good afternoon.
Good nowness, Restine.
And what shall we discuss, my friend?
I don't know. I will see where the conversation will carry me. I would like to keep this like pretty much open. I don't have specific questions at the moment, so I would like to have this in a form like as a chat between friends.
Very well.
And let's say when I tell things that I'm doing or talk about things, you can consider them as implicit questions. So if you think you have an impulse or it would benefit me to hook in into any of the things I say, please do so.
Very well.
So let's say after our last session, I would say I am widening awareness at breakneck speed. And I kind of hate to say it, but I'm even using this virus situation in many ways to my benefit, which like probably if I publish this session, I don't know if I will do, but we'll cause people to call me and say, hey, you are one of the assholes who brought this upon us for your personal gain. But it's working pretty well for my shifting process, which I would say is my base priority these days. So,
and I would say that is actually excellent, my friend, to use this mass event to your benefit and to be using it in relation to shifting is very much the point.
Yes, I was taking this. I was reading the transcript of the last computer web session, and I kind of took that out of what you said there. And I also, incidentally, of course, I mean, there are no accidents. Just recently I was reading one of the very old sessions, like from 1996, where you were with the original group discussing the flu season. And
yes,
many of the things, and I also remember from the Seth books, things that Seth had said when there was a flood in Elmira, where Rob and Jane were living, there were in your session and back then there were descriptions of how you could or people would personally benefit and en masse. These are things that you normally, which are hard to see, like when you tell them, okay, there's this virus, and everybody asks, oh my God, why would we do something like this? And I can see so many benefits arising from that and personal and on level of society and maybe even on global level, although I'm not so much concerned personally with, let's say, other countries or other continents, because I'm kind of sticking to something that I've learned back in the SES days, that the point of power or the point of influence or the point where you create your own life is in the immediate environment. And so the importance for me like drops off in a kind of a curve with increasing distance. So like I'm not entirely I'm not entirely ignoring what's happening in China or what would be happening in the United States, but it has not the same importance as what happens with the people around me, and then the importance drops a bit off when with regard to what happens in my city and then in the country and then in Europe. And I'm trying to concern myself mostly with the things that are in the immediate environment, which I'm coming in contact with in daily life.
Yeah, which I would say is the point.
And yeah, I remember you said in the last session that I should ask myself how I touch people and how many people I touch. So like what I'm doing ripples out. And I know you're saying in the transcripts dozens or hundreds of times that everything you do ripples out into the entire universe, to into the last corner. But I was like seeing where am I touching people with my like with the confidence that I'm having and moving through this mass event. And I'm seeing like very small things like making eye contact with people and giving them a nod or a smile, or I just yesterday handed a candy bar to a security person who's looking after our grocery supermarket. And I can even practically see like small things that arise from the fact that I'm not lost in the thought and fear process, but that I'm basically aware of what I'm doing and aware of my energy and aware of my intent and aware of my decisions and aware of my options, this package or let's call it a package of being, how this ripples out in these small acts and affects a bunch of people. And maybe this security person will be a little more relaxed and will be more friendly to the next person, or will come home more relaxed and not yell at the kids maybe. The thing I'm seeing, how I'm working with you, with what you told me in the last session.
And I would be very, very much acknowledging of you, my friend, because this is important. And I would say that it is now more important than most people realize. Because in those actions, yes, you are touching other people. And in touching other people, you are making a difference one life at a time.
Yes, go ahead.
Or in that, you are correct, perhaps, that act, although it seems to be something small, perhaps that act did alter that individual's mood. And in altering his mood, perhaps then he in turn would engage his family in a different capacity. And it ripples on and on and on. And let me also express to you that even if you are engaging at times in a manner that is what you think of as negative, if you are moving in a direction in which you are expressing everything is doom and gloom and negative, even that, it obviously ripples out, but it doesn't always move in a direction of touching other people in the same manner that it is being expressed. Another individual might receive that and it might inspire them to move in the opposite direction. But the point is, what do you want to be? How do you want to express yourself, and who do you want to be?
Yeah, that's basically, I think that's the core point in those, because like when you just said, maybe this will affect the person. One thing is I I'm been looking very, very closely at my motivations in this. I'm expressing this without expectation. I'm pretty sure of that. And so even if this person, if it doesn't affect them at all, or if they throw away the candy bar and think what an idiot he is, it's not for I didn't do it for the effect. I was doing it for because this act makes this moment for me a more life worthy moment.
I understand. And that is the point. It isn't necessarily that you are motivated because you are doing something for someone else, but because it enriches your life and it allows you to express yourself genuinely and in a manner that you want to be expressing, and what you want to be and who you want to be. And in that, it automatically benefits other people. But even if you are moving in a direction in which you are expressing because you want to be helpful to other people, you are doing it from the perspective of that interconnectedness. Therefore, whatever you do with someone else, you are doing with or for or to yourself.
Mm-hmm. It's one, yeah. That is one of the things which took me quite a while I did quite some, let's call it soul searching, about that, because I think there's a very fine balance between noticing that and doing something for the other, for the sake of the interconnectedness, and on the other side, trying to be instructing. And I know,
yeah.
I have from the old days with the Blue Flash forums, etc. I have, and also with like this shift breakthrough days last November, I have a tendency to want to be instructing. Like I saw this pretty clearly within myself, and I was kind of holding myself back in a few points until I was in a few situations until I was rather or very sure that I wasn't approaching this from a discounting perspective, like, oh, you poor guy, you have such a bad job and you are in such a bad mood, let me help you. But from my genuine understanding of interconnectedness and like I want to express that, and I would be happy if this would enrich your life, but this is an energy offering and you can use it in any way you want, even in ways that I dislike.
Yeah. Congratulations. I would say that I understand that that isn't an expression that comes necessarily easily, but that it requires some paying attention and moving in a direction of being aware of what you are doing. That is the point of being self-aware.
And I'm finding, like, these things, when they begin to, there are these pieces in your teaching, like being present, being not reacting, notice what you are doing, and the doing itself is an incredibly big word, and being aware of the choices and being aware of the yes and the no and the why, and each of those is like a major project in itself. But when all those pieces or when all those elements develop more or less together, they fall into each other and give a bigger picture, which then accelerates the whole process. Like once you are having the presence, then you're having the more of the noticing, because you're present and aware that you should be noticing, and the more elements you are aware fall into the noticing, the more you find, and it's like I said, it's expanding in breakneck speed.
I agree, and I would say that when you are being very intentional and you are paying attention, then I would say to you, my friend, that it is very possible to do precisely what you are expressing, that you begin to move and expand at that breakneck speed.
Like, I can remember back in the days when I had my first sessions with you, like in 2005, I had sort of meditations where I had an impression or an imagery of expanding myself like a bubble around myself, like the energy field around myself. And when I had the feeling of being wide expanded, that was like a few meters, 10 meters at the max. And I remember after last November, I had days where I was walking in the street, and this expanded feeling, this being meanness was like 30 or 40 meters and included houses and even other people. It was like a bird's view on a, let's say, a kid's playing with toy soldiers or with toys, and it was like a bird's view of myself within this radius or within this sphere let's say, beingness. And now most of the time when I move through the world, my beingness is like the visual horizon.
And amazing.
And it is amazing. I mean,
and I would say congratulations.
Thank you. And I mean, it's if it continues to expand like this, I don't know where it will stop.
And what I would say to you is that it doesn't ever stop.
I think so, yes.
And in that, my friend, what I would say to you also is that it is so tremendous and so liberating that the more you expand, the more motivated you are, and the more, in a manner of speaking, hungry you are to expand more.
Absolutely. It's like, as I said at the beginning of our conversation, like, this is my primary intent at the moment. It's like there is this artist, Robbie Williams, and he has this song about so much life running through my veins, and it's like more and more and more of that.
And in that, it is astounding what you can accomplish and what you notice and what you become.
Yeah, and it's like, I have an example, like, when this virus started, like, it was in early March. Italy had closed the borders already, and I and my fiancé, we had a trip booked to Malta, to the island of Malta. And when we started the trip, I was saying to her, well, let's see if we go there, if they allow us to come back. And she was kind of dismissive of that, and I was like, okay, this will be an interesting situation in either way. And so we went there, and lo and behold, during about 3 days before the end of the trip, Malta closed its borders. So we sat there at the hotel. There was a bit of misinformation, like tourists wouldn't be allowed to leave their apartments or hotels, and all flights to Germany are cancelled. And of course, we got an email that our flight was cancelled, and that was that. And then I was basically, I was so present within myself. I knew, well, if we don't make it out of here, it's not too bad. It's just a longer vacation. And if they make rules, they have to enforce it, and nobody knows if we are tourists or not. So I'm not so much affected by the rules they make. It's the science wave. It's about the rules and knowing which one you can break. So let's see what will happen. And from this position of relaxedness and confidence, we managed to book a flight that didn't exist, like that was cancelled already, but we could get a ticket for that. And then after we got the ticket for that, we went to the airport and said, okay, our flight is cancelled, what can we do? And they gave us another flight through Vienna one day later. And we got there, and the most amazing thing, the really absolutely most amazing thing, was that the flight and the stay at the airport was absolutely pleasant. And it's amazing because I used to joke that I create all my reality with the exception of flying, because within flying, the airports and the airlines are creating my reality, and there's nothing I can do about that. And I even managed to get around that. And we had like a pleasant return to our home, maybe a little later than expected. But other people were like stuck there in a hotel for 3 more weeks with uncertainty. And we just, there's this movie Matrix, and there's a scene where the main character, Neo, walks through a crowd on there's a pedestrian walk with a lot of people coming in the opposite direction, and he just moves seamlessly through this crowd. He flows like water, and this experience was like that. There were so many obstacles, and it was so effortless to create what I wanted. I was even amazed by myself.
I would say that is amazing, and I would also say congratulations for changing your perception so dramatically.
About the airlines, yeah.
That is a very significant change. And that is excellent, because it shows you precisely what I have expressed, that your perception change your reality.
Yes, indeed. And even during the flight, we had a longer stay in Vienna, and then we found another flight that would have suited us. Slightly better, and we even convinced the person at the ticket counter to change flights basically on the fly, and even reroute our luggage, and even this did work, and this person was totally nice, and there was a small situation which was like probabilities, like this could fail, like he said, the computer doesn't let me do this, and so there were those two probabilities, and I was like in my, let's call it, clumsy and inexperienced way, trying to go to regional area 2 and shift energy there to make it happen, and he went to the back office, and his superior managed to complete this transaction, and it's like magic.
And what I would say to you in this, my friend, this is all very significant, because it isn't only you. You are engaging in actions and actively creating your reality, but in relation and in cooperation to other people.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You aren't simply doing it alone, yourself. And this is very significant, because this is a significant piece of what is occurring presently, or what continues to be occurring presently, in relation to precisely what you expressed, that people are thinking and feeling they can't do because other people are dictating their reality. Therefore, they are stuck, or they can't accomplish, and they can't do what isn't possible, and what is impossible to do is to move in any other direction than what is being expressed already. And what you are saying and what you have been doing is you were looking at the situation and recognizing that very well it is possible that I may be engaging in extended vacation, but I also might try and move in this direction and see what I can accomplish, and being relaxed about it and not generating expectations, and in doing so, allowing yourself to create an adventure that moved precisely in a direction of accomplishing easily what you wanted.
Yes, and the good thing was, it's something that I had noticed for a long time, is that especially with moving in the direction of widening awareness and being more self-directed and more able to create your own life intentionally, because you always created. One of the things is that sometimes you need, this can be generalized, but for myself, I noticed that I tend to create challenges or tests to show myself what I'm able, because if this hadn't happened, I wouldn't be aware how seamless I am today, able to cope with such a situation compared to 6 months back or 1 year back.
Yes. And I would say that is also very efficient.
It is, yeah.
About these experiences, and yes, in a manner of speaking, testing yourself and experimenting. Can I do this? And then doing it and acknowledging to yourself, yes, I can do this. And I am able to, and I am doing it. And in that, empowering yourself, but also creating an example for other people that are looking at their situations and expressing that they can't do or they can't move because they are being told that they can't.
Yes, I can see that. And
that was your situation also. You were being told that you can't. But yes. You did it anyway.
Yes, I'm even like in the situation here at the moment in Germany, especially here, the state of Bavaria where I am. There are also restrictions. The restrictions here in the state are slightly tighter than in the rest of the country. And there were even kind of, well, some of the rules were a bit overzealous or unclear, and there were discussions, like, and one of the discussions that ensued was that people are allowed by the rules to go out and for recreational and sports purposes. But some people decided to interpret this that you are not allowed to go outside and go to a park and lay in the sun, because that is not sports. And so I was, when I was taking a lot of walks, because the weather is absolutely brilliant at the moment, and whenever I saw someone breaking the rules, I was like walking up to them and giving them a thumbs up, or telling them, okay, that's the right attitude, just to encourage them to think for themselves and not think that they are breaking the rules and everybody else around them would be judgmental about what they do. And people are pretty relaxed when I encounter them. So I probably I'm moving through let's call it an energy field where I'm even, let's say, encouraging them to be a little more relaxed than otherwise before I even encounter them. So I'm just moving through people, and everybody is relaxed and happy, and only the occasional person exhibits fear and defensiveness and stuff like that. It's amazing. It's like when I talk to some other people, it's like I'm living in a totally different world, which in fact I do.
I agree, and I would say that in that, though, even if you encounter an individual that is afraid or is being judgmental, you can be affecting of that also by not mirroring it, but also by expressing that compassion.
Yeah.
Because when the other people are being judgmental, it is because they are afraid. Now, in that, what I would say to you and to every individual at this point is that I would pose the question, if you came across a child that was afraid, how would you interact with that child? Would you be dismissive of them? Would you be judgmental of them? Likely not. Likely you would be compassionate, and you would speak with them, and you would ask them, what are they afraid of, and what is it that is so scary to them? And then you would be speaking with them in a compassionate manner and encouraging them to not be so afraid. I would say that at this present time framework, it is significant to approach anyone that is afraid in the same manner.
Well, one question that I have in relation to that is, and that ties in what I've said earlier about it and being instructive, being instructing. I'm trying to, well, let's, if I oversimplify this a bit, and I'm, you know, and I know that I'm not misunderstanding you. I'm just putting it simply. I don't want to treat people like a child, like because there's an element in discounting in that even the way people treat children, small ones. There's an permanent.
I understand. Yes, there can be a discounting element to that because they are expressing that whatever the child's fear is, it isn't real.
Or the child doesn't know enough that we have a discounting, or the child isn't understanding the situation, or the child is imagining it and it's not real. These are all elements of like this discounting, and it's very hard. Or for me, it takes a very deliberate approach to say approach a person who exhibits fear and not discount them for the fear, but like, okay, offering something that maybe distracts them from the fear or gives them a different angle to look at the situation without the discounting element.
I understand. I do understand. But this is an excellent exercise and practice to be aware of yourself and checking yourself that you aren't discounting, that you aren't being judgmental, and that you aren't instructing them, but that you are actually genuinely expressing that compassion with them and therefore also honoring them. And in that, when you can do that, it actually, to a degree, not entirely, but to a degree, it diffuses the intensity that the other individual is expressing. And what I would say that is significant for you and others like you that are moving quickly in a direction of becoming much more self-aware and becoming more aware of the interconnectedness of yourself with everything else, which includes other people. What I would say is when you encounter other individuals that are expressing an attitude or that they seem to be being judgmental and they are expressing in a manner that is intolerant, that is fear.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, rather than matching energy with these individuals, recognize what they are expressing for what it is. That they are expressing in the manner that they are because they are afraid. And this is a very common expression of fear, very similar to the blowfish. Humans bluster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in that, they puff themselves up to seem larger and more intense, and therefore that they are more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, it is all actually precisely that. It is bluster.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's, of course, a lot of it is automatic reaction. Like, I still remember when I was mostly in that mode myself for a large percentage. And so it's like, especially with what the media is playing and what people are exchanging with their self and drawing people with like attitudes or with like energy to themselves, it's like a pinball machine where they fly around like mad and be reflected and bump into something and then change direction, and it's and there's even there an element in discounting or in condescension. It's not their fault. It's what they are. It's where they are in this process.
Correct. And in that, it is a matter of recognizing that as their difficulty. And not to be faulting them for that, not to be judging them for that, but this is what I was expressing in relation to how you can move in a direction of not being oppositional and not matching energy by expressing to other individuals in whatever manner you do it, how can I help? That doesn't mean you have to express those words to them.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the energy that you are expressing. How can I be helpful?
Hmm.
Because be aware, my friend, that is a question.
Yeah, I was just thinking, as you said, that I would probably phrase it slightly different, like, can I help, even if because it's not necessarily true that people want to be helped. Maybe they are happy where they are, even if it doesn't look like that from the
outside. But it isn't a matter of can you, because you can.
Do you want me to? Okay.
Also, isn't a matter of whether they are offering an answer,
uh-huh,
or whether they are receptive, because you can be helpful regardless. Therefore, in that, by asking how can you help, you are giving the other individual the choice.
Yeah, to say bugger off.
To express in whatever manner.
Are
giving them the choice to say no. You are giving them the choice to say yes and to be specific in what they perceive they need. And you are also giving them the choice to not respond at all. And it doesn't matter, because you are already being helpful in expressing that energy.
Hmm.
Because you are being accepting in that energy. And that in itself is helpful.
Yeah, I can see that.
The question is to give the other individual the opportunity for a response. The question isn't actually entirely to be receiving an answer.
Mm-hmm. Because it is empowering if they can choose.
Yes, yes. And it is encouraging them to choose.
And to like think about what it is that they want and become consciously, sort of consciously aware of that.
Yes, precisely, yes.
Uh-huh.
In that, by simply engaging another individual and asking that question, you are encouraging them, yes, to think for themselves, to think about themselves, to evaluate, to question themselves and their situation, and to be moving even in the idea of self-directing and self-structuring.
Mm-hmm.
But you are encouraging them in that direction.
Yes, that's something I didn't see in full depth up until this moment.
That is very significant because, especially as I said, the more self-aware you are and you become, and the more you move into that, the more you are also moving into that interconnectedness. And that is tremendous. And in that, regardless of how self-aware you are becoming objectively, necessarily mean you automatically know how to express yourself in that interconnectedness or what it entails or what it means.
I had two sound dropouts. Can you repeat the last sentence?
What I am saying is that doesn't mean that you automatically know what to do with that interconnectedness or what it means or how to engage with it. This is all very new. And therefore, it is all a matter of a learning process in relation to becoming more self-aware and becoming more objectively aware of that interconnectedness and how to engage it. And in that learning process, I would say that there are very simple actions that you can engage that are more profound than you realize.
I think this will be one of the sentences to which I will be coming back many, many times, and you have this knack for weaving simple things into a conversation which just unfold magically in 50,000 different ways over time. And I think this is one of those time bombs.
And I would say to you, my friend, congratulations. You are correct.
I'm beginning to know you better, my friend.
I agree.
Okay. Let's go somewhere on a kind of a lighter note. last time I was telling about my game where I buy those surprise packages with toy figures, like this company which makes figures from like all walks of life, like from, let's say, a cook and a bank robber and whatnot. And I'm buying surprise bags to giving myself answers or to like allowing essence to poke me in some way, or when I have an answer, or I sometimes buy them when I just say I want to find out something new about myself, and I buy one of those bags, and then some kind of figure or some kind of toy comes out. And I, most of the time, I'm interpreting them as other focuses. And I have collected them here on a shelf, and there's it started with one or two or three, like there's a Viking and an astronaut and a geisha and even a female ninja, and kind of those figures. And why I'm bringing this up is that at some point I was buying a crystal, a quartz. I was inspired by that from Nuno's Listel sessions, who was using the quartzes to bring out essence, and I was placing this quartz in like in the middle of those figures. I'm like kind of arranging them in a circle, and then at some point I had the impression, and that ties probably into what you were saying in another session, that I should be focusing more on intuition on the female side. And I had this impression that this circle should consist of 12 figures. So over time I bought more. Some of them I even selected specifically for a special figure or occupation of the figure. And there's one experience that I had that I can't just that I don't understand what actually happened there. And that was on the day when I placed, when I bought the, or received the 12th figure and completed this circle, I went for a short nap. And my naps are like a mixture of dreaming and meditation and sleeping. And I had a rather strong impression of taking an offshoot of a tree and placing it in, or being placed in water, and it developing roots. And then I woke up, and this there's also been a strong energy that I can't really explain. I was, even after I woke up, rather tired, and took another nap, and had another strong impression of like this gigantic tree, like the Weirwood tree from the Game of Thrones series, or I recently saw the Altered Carbon series, and there was part of that was an underground, the roots of a gigantic tree that was called the Elders. And I had, this whole thing had the impression of, with this 12th figure, I had completed something significant, but I don't know what. So this is my question.
Of what you completed?
Yes. Or what that was, or what the 12 figures, why 12 figures? I mean, My interpretation is the 12 figures are focuses and the crystal in the middle is essence. And the way they are placed, they are all like addressing this bringing essence forward into life in different ways. Like they have different tools, and each of these figures with their tools are approaching this widening awareness or bringing essence forward process. This is my intuitive interpretation of what I am doing there, but like this, there seemed to be a significant something that happened with this last figure. And
I would agree with your interpretation of all of that, and what I would say is what you were doing, in a manner of speaking, was creating a circle and then completing it in connecting all of these focuses, in a manner of speaking, all of these figures, all of these focuses are simply a representation.
It's clear, yeah, it is.
Not that this is all of your focuses, but
no.
Are a representation of that. And in that, they are representing all of the collective focuses of you, and then connecting that with essence as being one, that it isn't all these separate things. Therefore, the crystal is an image, but not of a person. It is an image of, in a manner of speaking, a conduit. That thing that connects them all. And in that, what you were doing was completing the circle of taking away most of that separation factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was seeing, or I had hunches, impressions of that separation diminishing in other ways too. Like last time we were talking about things that happened in the past, and you said to me, you have been doing this or that, and with this, you, meaning me, I wasn't even clear of if you were addressing to me as the focus of Marcus or me as the focus of Michael Micah, because I was like, okay, this is both me, and yeah, this makes sense.
Correct. And in that, as you continue to lessen that separation, you can accept the expression of you regardless. It doesn't matter what it is or what the context is, because the you is you, whether it is specifically this focus or essence or everything or everyone, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's the widening of the awareness. It's like the widening of what I consider me.
Yes, yes, precisely.
Oh. Okay. This brings me, this is almost a perfect bridge to other questions I have. And there was, this is two questions tied into one, probably. I was mentioning that one of the figures is a female ninja, and I'm in contact and in exchange, intensive contact with Micah, and he is quite intrigued by this figure. And I was considering, like when I bought it, I said this is, or my first impression or idea about it, without like drawing lines or so, but it was initially, this is a focus of mine. But then since I'm not even really drawing a line between Marcus and Micah, and he's drawn to this focus as well, my question is, like with this fragmentation, and we will probably need, I would say, one or two or five sessions to wrap up the topic of fragmentation at one point. But like quickly speaking, you were telling Michael when he asked that we are sharing 800 focuses together. And now my question is, if I consider most of the focuses that from the non-fragmentation days, like let's say Vlad the Impaler, I still consider that my focus, even if I'm fragmented. Let's start with a simple question. Is the female ninja a focus of Micah also? Or is the question entirely...
What I would say to you at this point, my friend, is the reason this is somewhat confusing to you presently is because you are moving in that direction of lessening that separation. And in doing so, this is what I have expressed repeatedly that is associated with that subject of focuses and directing or observing essences.
Mm-hmm.
And that they are identical. They
mm-hmm.
are the same.
Okay.
That the only reason that I have even indulged all of you in generating that distinction
mm-hmm.
is because it has been so difficult for most people to understand and to accept that there is no separation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay.
So much want to move in the direction of ownership.
Yeah, I get it.
That this belongs to me
mm-hmm.
and this belongs to you.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, creating more of that separation.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would say to you is, in answer to your question, yes. But I would also say that it is a focus of you also. Is it a focus of Micah? Yes.
Okay.
Is it a focus of you? Yes.
Yeah, but I can see the other way around, like Vlad the Impaler, which was identified as a focus when I was not fragmented, and I'm aware that with fragmentation you take the whole package with you. It's still you, and it's still part of you, even if you're now self-directing and driving
correct.
Your own bus.
That is correct, and that is slightly easier to accept. Because that still allows you that ownership.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would say to you is, as you move farther into self-awareness, then you begin to recognize, and this is part of that interconnectedness also, that this is the difficulty with interconnectedness, is that you begin to recognize that the factor of separation is invalid.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, there is no ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this belongs to me and that belongs to you? But that everything is all together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Michael also, Michael wants to, or he came up with an impression about Robin Williams, the artist I was mentioning already, and he was asking, his question outright was, is Robin Williams a focus of mine, me, Marcus, and Marcus? And I'm presenting this question just as it is.
And I will say, in relation to what we have been discussing,
mm-hmm.
I will use the term of observing essence to emphasize that factor of no ownership.
Uh-huh. I get it.
Yes. I would say yes.
Okay.
But I would also say I would include that observing essence because I would encourage you to recognize that lack of ownership.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, my first, when he presented the question to me, before my thought process even started, I had the word observing appear in my mind. So I think I get it.
Excellent.
Then this is a fun question. This is just a very light note, because we were talking about this question, or we were exchanging emails about this question, and he was asking me about the Star Wars series and if I liked it, and I said I hate it. I even take a short holiday from my acceptingness and non-judgmentalness to indulge in the judgment that I think this movie series is absolutely awful. But he came up with the question, and it's kind of fun. If the character Jar Jar Binks from the series is me. He didn't even say it's focus, because it's probably a movie character, but he was suggesting that Jar Jar Binks is me. So I'm presenting this question to you with a wink.
As a representation of a character other dimensionally, yes.
Okay. He will like that. Okay. So, finally, I'm over time already, and but I agree that with Mary. So, last question is, do you have a general message to Michael? Michael, he didn't ask anything in particular. I have a few. I know about his current situation. So if you have anything in regard to, let's say, job, or his being kind of self-quarantined and not able to exercise, or his focuses, or his general situation, or what would be most beneficial to him, anything that you have for him, I will relay to him the recording.
So, I would.
Yes, go ahead.
He can exercise. He can make his choices regardless of what is being suggested in relation to quarantine. And in that, I would very much encourage him to be exercising with his dog.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I would say, while he is doing that, to very much continue to contemplate what he and I have discussed in relation to him engaging new and different opportunities that use his creativity and his ingenuity in relation to creating a new direction for himself. And I continue to be very encouraging and supportive and expressing an offering of energy in that direction. And I extend my invitation to engage with him, to continue our conversations in relation to that.
Okay.
To be patient and allowing, but also to be moving in a direction of genuinely allowing himself to express himself more.
Okay. I would like to, although he didn't explicitly ask about that, ask a follow-up question, and I'm leaving it to you if it's appropriate to answer a question that I'm asking from him, which he didn't present to me. But I'm pretty sure he will be, with regard to the exercising, he has a problem, or he developed the problem that through the lockdown or lockdown suggestions, his gym is closed, and one other option that he had developed, he had, in result of that, he had developed a slight injury which blocks this path also, and he has in the past developed other injuries which are kind of blocking his path to exercise in certain ways. And maybe if you find it appropriate and if he is in agreement, you could comment on the imagery with the blocking of the exercising and the ongoing injuries.
I would say that it is definitely moving in a direction of encouraging him to move outside of the conventional directions and to incorporate different types of disciplines, which I did already suggest with him.
Mm-hmm.
That he allow himself to investigate.
Okay.
Other types of exercising, other types of disciplines, and in that, I would say, again, that if he were to move in the direction of some disciplines in martial arts, he very easily could draw on energy from other focuses, because he has so many,
mm-hmm,
that already express those disciplines, and it would be lending him significant energy to accomplish. I would also say that in this present situation, that can actually be expressed with an instructor, and he doesn't have to be in physical proximity. He could do that through the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't require having to do that in person, so to speak. Also, I would say that temporarily engaging different expressions of exercise with the dog would be encouraging, because it will provide a different energy in which he isn't alone, but that he is sharing an activity, which, again, I would say is significant and important, because I would say that one of the factors is that he already feels somewhat isolated, even in relation to his work and his home situation and his partner. He already is feeling somewhat alone. And this is an excellent opportunity to use his companionship to share and not be so alone. I would also express that I am aware of his injuries and his difficulties, but he could very well work around that dependent on what he engages in relation to new and different disciplines, which would allow him to exercise and would also allow him to accomplish in new capacities that might also be eventually inspiring in manners that he wouldn't necessarily expect. And I will express one other suggestion, that he chose not to engage and pay attention to a significant time framework ago. And perhaps he will consider it now. And that would be to be engaging exercise in riding a bike.
Okay.
Which I understand that he doesn't understand the significance of that yet. But if he actually allows himself to do it, he might.
Okay.
Therefore, that would be the challenge that I would present.
I will pass it along.
Very well.
Very well, my friend. Thank you very much for your time, for your consideration, and for your wisdom.
You are very welcome. I express tremendous love to your friend, Micah, and I express tremendous love to you, my friend.
Which is the same, because we are the same.
I shall be greatly anticipating our next meeting and sharing more of your adventures. adventures and accomplishments.
Thank you very much, my friend. I love you.
In dear friendship, as always, au revoir.